This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, looks like we got to plan a trip to Red Lodge. Man, I know we got listeners in Red Lodge right now. Apparently, they have a Trump headquarters. You can get your pro-Trump merchandise in Red Lodge right now. Kind of reminds me of that Trump Tana store they had here in the Gallatin Valley a few years ago. I went, maybe they'll get that thing back up and running here soon, too, as well. Aaron Flint here broadcasting live from the Hilton Garden Inn this morning. And we got our friend David Noble, the Manhattan, Montana native, back in studio holding down the fort back there. David, how you doing?
Fantastic. Good to be here.
Hey, well, it's great to see you. I should just, you know, just leave the rest of the hour to you, and I'll just go and drink some coffee, have a good time, listen in, but because you always do such a great job filling in on the show. I think I forgot to tell folks last week when you were in, not only do you join us on the show, you're on Twitter at LectureFan, LCTRFan, but you got your own Twitch TV podcast. What have you been twitching about? What have you been talking about on Twitch of late?
You know, just the latest news, whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in the media. Of course, Joe Biden is an endless source of hilarity and entertainment. So, you know, you just check whatever the latest on Joe Biden is.
Yeah, what do you think of the Karine Jean-Pierre called it cheap's fake videos. She had the S's to that. Cheap's fakes videos.
Hey,
it's
well,
like,
just,
you know, you don't go to Walmart, you go to the Walmarts. So,
well, and you can just make up words and make up terms. It's a wonderful thing when you're a Democrat.
That's right. Yeah. What's the reaction like? Because you get kind of across the political spectrum, people jumping in on the commentary on your Twitch podcast as well.
Oh, it's hilarious. We'll get people come in here and they'll just start calling me a sheep, and they'll saying, you're a cult member, you're a sheep, you're a Trump sheep, you're a Trump cult member. And that's really all they've got, and that's all they can say. And that's all they ever do say. You're a Trump cult member, you're a Trump sheep. Okay, all right. That was an interesting convo.
Yeah, exactly. Which is funny. It's funny when they call us cult members, but it's like, well, you know, the Trump supporters wouldn't just go get a vaccine just because Donald Trump told them the vaccine was available. But you guys were the ones who were like, shut up and wear your masks. You must get the shot. You know, but tell us again who the cult members are. You want to chop body parts off of little kids. Tell us who the cult members
are.
Well,
speaking of cults, did you hear that we just set a record low temperature here in Billings yesterday morning? All time low. The coldest it's ever been on June 18th in 85 years.
Well, you know, now the climate cultists are going to just tell you that, well, we've got bad sensors, bad technology. We need to upgrade our our temperature collection settings. And, you know, well, that only goes back 100 or so years. So we don't know if it truly was the coldest day in Billings.
Well, what the Gazette is saying is that old man winter takes a holiday to Billings. So apparently that's the excuse here.
yes, exactly. Well, Ken in Great Falls will not call in to lecture us about global warming then. And, you know, because the rivers are full, too, man. The Yellowstone River was rocking and rolling, I noticed, on the drive over. So, but Ken, just like 2 months ago, was like, look at the river, global warming, look at the river.
Stop all the development.
Back after this.
Military matters.
The Navy announced it's dropping the high school diploma or GED requirement. The Air Force is welcoming back retirees to active duty, all to combat a combined 20,000 person sign-up deficit across branches last year. The Marines hit their target but called it the most challenging recruiting environment since the establishment of the all-volunteer force. The reasons are complicated: a robust jobs market, global conflict, and retired Colonel Mike Jalucius points out that there are simply fewer people ages 17 to 25.
That's about only 8.5% of our country, and that's a 15-year low. That's just a, you know, an abstract sort of demographic statistic that people don't necessarily think about.
The U.S.'s selective service system requires men 18 to 25 to serve if need be. Congress could open that up to women as well. There's also growing concern about eligibility. More young people are taking medications for things like anxiety and ADHD. That can make medical clearance more challenging. With Military Matters, Alexandria Hoff, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, highs will range from the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. Staying clear and quiet tonight. Low temperatures from 50 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. And the outlook for Friday does call for a mix of clouds and sun, along with some scattered showers and storms possible. High temperatures for tomorrow, back to around 80 degrees across the region. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, coming up on Thursday's Montana Talks, I'm going to be broadcasting live from the Hilton Garden Inn in Bozeman. That's where the Montana Chamber of Commerce is hosting the 2024 Big Sky Bright Future Summit. Governor Greg Gianforte will be there as well, and I'm anticipating a big business announcement at that event as well. We are going to have open microphones, special guests, and more. Thursday's Montana Talks, live from the Chamber event in Bozeman.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, there we go. We got the photo knocked out. Adam Gilbertson is with RDO Equipment. He's based here in Montana, but really, what do you have, like an international title, Adam? I forget. You're a vice president or something big time like that, right?
Yeah. For the last couple of years, I've been the senior vice president of field technology and innovation for the company. So focused on, you know, where machine guidance, autonomy, and AI are starting to touch agriculture and construction around the country.
Yeah, very cool. Well, Adam is on the panel this morning here at the Big Sky Bright Future Economic Summit here at the Hilton Garden Inn in Bozeman this morning. We've got our friend, our sidekick, David Noble, back in studio with us as well. David, you're kind of our techie guy as well. You got your Twitch TV podcast and everything like that. But, David, Adam is going to be talking about partnerships to grow the Big Sky economy. But, man, any questions you want to kick things off with or to throw out there?
Oh, Aaron, you're putting me on the spot like that? No, I have heard about RDO. You know, I've heard nothing but good things, just kind of in passing. But I'm actually real anxious to just hear more about RDO. Haven't heard about it, but not known a ton.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Adam. Yeah, tell them about RDO. You're the John Deere yellow, not the John Deere green, right?
We're a little bit of both in across the country and here in Montana. We're the John Deere green dealer in Kalispell, Missoula, kind of the western side of the state.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, you do the green side now.
Entire state of Montana. So, yeah, it's a company headquartered out of Fargo, North Dakota, but we have about 200 employees here in Montana. Stores in all the kind of the major cities, the six major cities around the state, and supporting our growers and builders as they work the land with John Deere equipment and a lot of different technology solutions.
Well, David, one of the things I'm always impressed when I talk with Adam is just the newest technology that's out. I mean, just like, what, fractions of inches. When they're doing road construction work, I mean, they've got equipment, they've got drones, they've got this, you know, automated equipment that, you know, can save worker time, save money, but can really get these roads down to like fractions of inches. It's crazy.
Yeah, the technology today allows us to control grade at a lot greater accuracy, helping to move the dirt once. I think that's probably the most important thing. And help, you know, stretch those infrastructure dollars as far as they can go in construction. In agriculture, we're starting to see AI come into the spraying technology, allowing the sprayer only to spray the weed and not the entire field. Some of that technology, they did about 300,000 acres last year, saved about 60% on the contact herbicide usage. Which has got a great economic argument and a really good environmental argument because, you know, plants become resistant to herbicides. And so the less you can use, the better it is for the long-term stability of that field.
Yeah, David, I don't know about you, but, you know, on this topic of growing the Big Sky economy, there's some people that are like, whoa, we've had enough growth, we've got enough people moving in. But there are parts of Montana that need growth, that need more industry in particular, especially, you know, parts of central and eastern Montana, rural Montana in particular. David, your thoughts?
Well, it'd be nice if we had a centrally planned economy and we could put all the growth and all the new people kind of exactly where we wanted them, right? But we can't do that.
No, that's right. But I think we can emphasize, you know, the strengths of certain parts of the area there. Yeah, but enjoy the sarcasm there from David. Adam, what's your focus going to be on growing the Big Sky economy in particular?
You know, I think the panel we brought together is really talking about how business can work in partnership with each other, with our trade associations, to kind of find common purpose in building the workforce here in the state. We've got about half the kids in Montana that leave high school every year that aren't going on to a two-year or four-year education. They're not going on to military service. How are we getting them to find a great job right here in Montana, to keep them here, to build on this economy and find a good career? And one of the things we've done as an organization is partnered through our trade organizations, the Montana Contractors Association, the Equipment Dealers Association, to work together in our high schools. We call it kind of coined it coopetition, if you will. Every day we're out kind of competing against each other in the economy, but we come together around this bigger issue of helping find, show the young people in the state new careers and doing it together to build a broader, more stable program to do that.
This was probably a month or two ago. I had a guy call into the show, I think from the Flathead, and he was talking about, hey, we need to, you know, exactly what you were saying. We need to promote trades. We need to promote these types of opportunities for young people because, you know, like David Noble, for example, a great lawyer, you know, a liberal arts degree, if I'm not mistaken, right, David, and then goes to law school at the University of Miami. Like, we need lawyers, and that's a great path for him. I mean, I'm glad I pursued the path I did for college. But I told this guy, I'm so excited. Our oldest son, in fact, just started an apprenticeship in the construction industry the summer before his senior year. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. We're really good as a state and a country at creating doctors and lawyers and accountants. We know how to do that. We've got a pathway. We don't have a good pathway to find this pathway into the trades. And I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do is open the eyes of teachers and administrators and mom and dad that there's some really great careers available right here at home.
Well, and of course, education is a part of that as well, and making sure that we don't just tell kids, hey, just go take out a big student loan debt and go to the four-year liberal arts degree school that turns into a six-year degree or whatever. Susie Hedlund, the superintendent for the Townsend Public Schools, is going to be on that panel with you as well. Adam Gilbertson, thanks for being with us this morning. Great to see you. And after you wrap up your panel, feel free to bring Susie, Jason, and crew out with us in that 9 o'clock hour as well, if you want.
Sounds good, Aaron. Thank you.
All right. Great to see you. Quick break here. Back to David Noble and the big news of the day right after this. I'll let David kick it off. I think he's got a woke update of the week for us coming up right after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
The National Farmers Union and Renewable Fuels Association have joined the growing list of lawsuits against the Biden administration over new vehicle emission standards. They filed a lawsuit against the EPA, claiming the rule unfairly mandates electric vehicle production while ignoring low-carbon liquid fuels like corn ethanol. This follows similar suits by ag and petroleum groups and Republican state attorneys general. The rule, set to start in 2027, aims to reduce greenhouse gases by requiring new vehicles to have significantly lower emissions by the year 2032.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
Looking at livestock markets at Miles City Livestock Commission this week, made up mostly of cull cattle. Slaughter cows were priced at $94 to $149 a hundredweight. Slaughter bulls, $132 all the way up to $192 a hundredweight. Stock cows priced at $1.24 up to $1.75. I'm Lane Northland. Have a great day.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David. Yeah, it was kind of funny. Monday morning on this show, there were like six different stories. I was like, you know, I was going to save these for Thursday and the woke update of the week with David Noble. But there were so many of them, and I couldn't wait. But now, I mean, like we've said before, we used to have one woke update of the week, and now there's it's all woke all the time in the liberal media. What do you got for us?
There was one that you were talking about with John Jackson on Tuesday that you were trying to save. I can't remember what it was now.
Oh, well, there was the one on Monday about the no U-turn signs in L.A.
Yeah.
The no U-turn signs were homophobic, so the L.A. City Council had to remove the no U-turn signs in L.A. It's like, my goodness, all of the things that nobody even would have thought were homophobic, they figure out a way to become victims once again. Like, they're so desperate for attention, so desperate to be victims.
This latest one kind of hits home for me because I was just this weekend camping using a propane stove. And as far as I know, the Democrats haven't come for the propane stoves quite yet. But they are coming for the gas stoves. California, New York, and Illinois consider applying warning labels to gas stoves. And apparently they think these gas stoves are just horrible. They've got a group called Climate Action Now pushing these labels. And they're engaged in a multi-year battle against these gas stoves. And then, of course, when you ask them about it, they say, no, we're not banning gas stoves. We're just requiring them to be labeled. Like, you know those labels that you buy a chocolate bar and it's got on the back of it? According to California regulations, we must put on here, this causes cancer. Wait, what? This is a chocolate bar. How does this cause cancer? But it's these California labels.
Well, and then that ends up dictating. So, I mean, at some point, a lot of these companies are like, well, if we have to do it here and here, we're just going to do it everywhere. And even though it's just a stupid little sticker that nobody pays attention to anymore anyway, what if something actually was a threat, actually was a risk, actually what? Yeah. Like, people will just ignore it because, well, there's a warning sign on everything anymore. So it takes away the effectiveness of a warning sign because it's just so stupid, right?
That was the exact problem with all the COVID-19 hysteria and the COVID-19 lockdowns. It's like, what happens when we have a real sickness going around and we actually need people to be listening to the advice of public health? Nobody's going to listen to them. Of course, the reality is, Aaron, and I said this going back to March of 2020, okay, this is the reality. If there's actually a disease or a virus spreading around the country and killing people, do you think that you're going to need the government bureaucrat to tell you to be safe and to stay inside? Or do you think that you might do that just of your own volition, on your own free will, without being told by the government, if there really was a virus going around that actually was going to kill you if you got it?
Yeah, exactly. Or people might just just do it on their own.
Right.
Did you see that? Dr. Fauci, this corrupt fraud, is of course putting a book out because there's going to be a bunch of gullible people that will give the guy even more money than he already raked from the taxpayers and the pharmaceuticals. But this guy is claiming, oh, no, I didn't say that the schools should be shut down. I didn't say that. And then, of course, they rolled the tape where he was, of course, a main cheerleader in of the fear campaign to shut down schools and set back our kids a generation.
Of course. And you know, the one thing that I saw Fauci say one time that made me realize, wow, this guy really is a fraud, is he was sitting there on some TV show and he was talking about how, you know, when I see a patient, when a patient comes into my office and I see a patient and I diagnose that patient and then I prescribe that patient. And I'm sitting there thinking, what are you talking about, Fauci? You don't see patients in your doctor's office. Fauci hadn't done that for probably 50 years.
No, and meanwhile, a doctor, I think it was a doctor down in Texas, was just one example, who testified on Capitol Hill here recently. He actually was a doctor, actually treating patients, and they went after him because he was using other techniques, other methods in order to treat COVID-19 that didn't involve, here, take this jab, or hey, shut up and wear your mask. he was actually using like clean, you know, other treatment solutions and things like that. And they, and then I probably even hydroxychloroquine and they, and so of course they had to shut him down, you know?
Right. It's just, it's really sad that our medical situation has gotten the way it is, where these doctors aren't free to practice medicine in the way that they want. And boy, what a scary, sad situation. I'm frankly terrified of the quality of healthcare we're going to have in 30 years when I'm the one that needs it. I'm anticipating that I'll probably just, you know, die for lack of medical service because our healthcare system is going to be in such bad shape by then.
God, it's like it started with Obamacare, this massive decline, didn't it? And costs continue to go up. And then look at what John Tester is screwing up at the VA. Bringing back the bureaucracy there. All right, more to follow with David Noble here back in 60 seconds after this Fox News update. Hey, send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you got something you want to talk about, want to mention, or would like us to talk about.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. From the beach house to camp, President Biden leaving Delaware for debate camp at Camp David. 1 week to the showdown against former President Donald Trump. RFK Jr. missed the deadline to qualify, and the White House says Biden may stay the entire week poring over binders. Trump VP shortlister Senator Tim Scott tells Fox.
It's Donald Trump with the working class coalition that's attracting more working class people. Black, white, Hispanic, Asians.
But the latest Fox News poll shows candidate Biden 2 points up. Summer solstice this afternoon under the heat dome. Meteorologist Janice Dean.
Caribou Maine, 96. That would tie an all-time record. And not just for June. I mean, since records began.
And hundreds of yoga mats down for solstice in Times Square, New York. The theme, mind over madness in the heat of the city. America's listening to Fox News.
All right. Well, David Noble coming up here in just a second. We've got Nancy Schlepp. I don't know if you've met Nancy before. Great, great lady from the White Sulphur Springs area, you know, raised in the area, ranch family in the area, and former Marr County Commissioner. And then now she is one of the big proponents working to get this Black Butte copper mine up and running near White Sulphur Springs, which is just such a huge economic development opportunity. And David, isn't this just yet another example, you know, of the delays that we have seen in prior years? Isn't this just another example of these phony environmental groups who claim to be for the environment? They claim to love electric vehicles, but then they try to block the very copper mining projects that would deliver the copper for those same electric vehicles, right?
They do, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from her, because that's a really important thing for the country, for our national security, frankly, for Montana economy and jobs. And of course, I'm one of these guys that grew up here in Montana, fifth generation Montana, always wanted to be in Montana, but really had to leave the state to go to law school and to get a really high quality law job. There was only a couple of law firms here in the state that I wanted to work for. And so then it took me a long time to finally get a job here in Montana that I wanted, that brought me back to Montana. And so I lucked out being able to finally find the job that I wanted here in Montana, but lots of folks don't. And then, you know, Aaron, I thought it was so interesting on Monday with Evelyn Pyburn, because I have been talking for years about how in order for us to meet the demand for minerals that we need to satisfy these leftist Democrats' EV demands and everything else, we need over 300 new mines to be built for nickel and cobalt and everything else. And then to hear Evelyn Pyburn kind of talking about that new report on Monday, that was really eye-opening and really pretty good confirmation for stuff that I'd heard for a while. But what are these Democrats doing? It's like, okay, so you want us to go all EV and all windmill and solar panel, and we need massive amounts of copper and cobalt and nickel, but now we want to put in a mine to actually get those materials, and now the Democrats want to stop it.
Yeah. You know, you just said something very interesting about how you had to go, you know, like so many Montana kids had to go out of state to find work, had to go. There's miners that have to travel out of state to work right now, but they could be home right here in Montana. So last night at the opening reception for this Chamber of Commerce Big Sky Bright Future Economic Summit, I ran into Dax Schieffer, and then there was a young man from Sydney, Montana there with him too, who found a job at an accounting firm here in state. But we talked about that very point, about how Montana used to be the state where you were from, where you went to other places to get work, and you talk about being from Montana. It was the place to be from. Now everybody wants to live and work in Montana. Like now it's like, oh no, now everybody wants to work in Montana, and there's actually more opportunities in Montana now, especially with these recent economic changes in the legislature and the governor, et cetera. I just thought that was a really interesting point, that it used to be the state you were from. Now it's the place people want to get to. Hold that thought. We'll start with Nancy Schlepp right after this. And David, yeah, jump in on the conversation with this, because she's very interesting.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, not only is Nancy Schlepp a vice president with the company working to make the Black Butte Copper Project a reality, and they're very close, I think close to starting construction soon, if I'm not mistaken, but she's also the chair of the board for the Montana Chamber of Commerce right now as well. David Noble, I'll put you on the spot. Why don't you throw out the first question since you talk about how excited you were to get a chance to talk with Nancy.
Well, I guess my first question is kind of just what's the status of all of the legal challenges? And I know that there's been some victories, and how quick are we to opening and all that kind of stuff?
So great. Yeah. Thank you, David. And good morning. And good morning to Aaron. And happy to be on the show this morning. So we are really gaining ground right now. We had a great decision on our mine operating permit from the Montana Supreme Court in a 5-2 decision in the end of February this year that gave us the green light to go forward. And so we've been busy doing a lot of trade-off studies, getting a feasibility study done, looking at economics, getting things in line for bonding. And so the best case scenario, because all that takes so much time, is we should be in construction by the end of next year. But they're all good problems to have. We're moving forward. There is one legal challenge that's still sitting out there related to our water rights. The environmental groups used our case to challenge the definition of beneficial use of water in Montana, but we can still go forward.
Yeah, that's great news. David, it's crazy how even just the definition of a word can trigger a lawsuit there. I mean, these environmental activist groups will use anything to try to stop these good jobs from coming online.
Yeah, they really will. But that's great news to hear about the status of the mine. That's really great.
And Nancy, for other listeners that may be new to hearing about this project, talk about just what it means by the numbers for that whole area. I mean, White Sulphur Springs, we just had a great family weekend there recently, and then went over to the Mint in Martinsdale. And it's just, the best part about it for me is now there's a place where Montana kids can find good work and Montana moms and dads can stay in Montana to work and put food on the table.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for asking that question, because I grew up in Ringling, Montana. We still ranch there, and White Sulphur is my home community. This is the first project I've gotten to work at home to bring jobs to my home community. But that is the whole reason I took this job, is our high school was down to about, when our daughter graduated in 2015, about 12 kids per class. We're down to 6-man football, and we really want to be a place where families want to come to. And so this project will provide close to 240 jobs, full-time jobs. We think half of those will be from the area or move to the other area. In mining, you see the other half willing to travel about 90 miles, which is kind of fascinating. But White Sulphur in Mark County is really working hard to create an environment where families want to move. Our biggest challenge right now is housing, like all of Montana. There's a lack of housing over after COVID, but we're gaining on that front as well. So excited to provide local jobs. We do see a lot of young people starting to come back. I feel like White Sulphur's had two economic boons. The first was when Red Ants Pants moved in, and the second was when our copper project came to town. So really positive changes coming back, and we're seeing young people move back, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, and David Noble, the CEO of Northwestern Energy, is going to be here speaking later this afternoon at this conference as well. And I saw two headlines recently. One, the good news about construction about to start for the Black Butte Copper Project. And then two, they're just about to be up and running at the gas-fired power plant in Laurel. And David, I said, thank God it's an election year, because hopefully that keeps the courts and the Supreme Court at bay, because they are not going to want to shut down these projects. I think they would see a massive backlash if they tried to stop either one of these.
Well, is it any wonder that, hey, here it is in 2024 at the height of the election year, and hey, finally we got good news on the gas power plant and the mine.
Yeah, wow, surprise, surprise, right? Yeah, but we'll take that good news, though. And I think Nancy, too, I think Montana's starting to move in a more business-friendly direction as a whole. I think that freight train is up and rolling right now. From your perch as chair of the board for the Montana Chamber of Commerce, I know that's I heard Todd O'Hare last night say at the opening reception, he says, our vision is aligned with the governor's vision. And I think that was good to hear that we've got our state moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. And the other thing you might have heard at the reception last night is the governor say, we are open for business. And you can really feel that. It's almost palpable. We've had a lot of good wins on the Montana Chamber front this last legislative session, really making this a great place to do business and changing a few of the laws that needed to be updated with the governor's help. And we are seeing a lot of good businesses move to our state that are looking for a solid place to do business where they feel that they won't have the rug whipped out from under them with changing regulations.
David, the other thing that was cool last night, they had this opening reception, and I don't know if you heard me mention it earlier, but a busload of about 40 folks from Taiwan, and there was a handful from Japan and Germany in there too. But business folks from our friends in Taiwan, you know, just like we've got our friends in Israel, we've got our friends in Taiwan that are being threatened by the communist Chinese right now, the freedom-loving friends in Taiwan. But, man, one guy last night, he said, what did he say? Photonics is right now. Quantum is the future. So anyway, some very interesting things happening behind the scenes here as well, David.
Yeah, the one thing I'd be curious to hear Nancy kind of talk about is how has the process of mining and sort of the impact on the environment changed over the last 100 years? How does, you know, how you guys are planning to do it in Black Butte compared to how they're doing it around the world and in poor countries and kind of, you know, how has it changed over time? Is it because a lot of people are going to think, oh, my goodness, a mine, you know, that's going to involve, you know, all sorts of horrible, horrible things. But my understanding is that we don't do mining the same way we did it 100 years ago, and we don't do it the same way they do it in places like China and Russia today.
Great point, David. I'm glad you mentioned this, because mining has changed a lot. And what we're finding in kind of my background in history, not being in mining, is mining has changed significantly in their processes and haven't been great at sharing that with the public. And that's really changed in the last 10 years, I think, especially with our project coming on, because we will be so environmentally sound. A lot of the processes will revolve around water. Everything is about protecting water. So you have reverse osmosis water treatments systems that take any water that you're not using to drinking water standards. You have, we'll be using cemented tailings and putting, the tailings are the ground up rock that doesn't have any ore in it. So half of the tailings will go back underground right where it's from, and the other half, because it doubles in pore space, will go into a double line facility. And so there's changes like that that are really making the face of mining new and different. I believe that we'll have visitors worldwide, because we will be the next gold standard in mining that want to see how to do it differently. And not only on the environmental front, but also the community front. You know, we really interact with the community. We've set up the Mara County Stewardship Council, which will have oversight over our project environmentally and help us really focus on economic development and diversification while we're there. So good news. What we do see worldwide is actually things are changing there too, not as quickly. But sometimes they're at the forefront. For instance, right now, one of my soapboxes is we do not have much smelter capacity in North America for our security. And yet in Asia, they're building zero emission smelters every year.
So emission smelters.
Yes.
Even in Asia, where they don't really typically care about emissions too often, right?
Absolutely. They have to meet some of the Western standards, for the companies to do business. But it would take a long time to get through the federal permitting process here. So we still have some challenges here, especially with looking at North American security, the needs of the Department of Defense, the needs of the Department of Energy. And you're right when you mentioned earlier it might take 300 mines to get up and running. An economic journal I read last fall said that if we're going to go this sustainable route, that we will need to mine in the next 80 years the same amount of copper that we mined in the last 5,000.
Wow.
So there's a huge need. There's going to be a huge shift worldwide.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, great question there from David Noble. Incredible response as well from Nancy Schlepp. Nancy, great to see you, the chair of the board for the Montana Chamber of Commerce. You got a welcoming speech to give here in a few minutes, so we better let you go. Thanks so much for sitting down, spending some time with us.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Great to see you as well. Okay, we got a quick break coming up here. A few minutes left in the hour. I'll toss it back to David Noble just to see if there's a topic he wants to share with folks across Montana, or maybe just respond to some of that very interesting insight that we just got from Nancy Schlepp there. All right. Aaron Flint here broadcasting live from the Hilton Garden Inn in Bozeman. We've got the Commerce Director for the state of Montana, Paul Green's going to join us later on in the 8 o'clock hour. If you're listening to 1450 KMMS in Bozeman, you can drop in and say hi as well if you'd like to this morning. Come down and see us.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Fox News commentary.
A majority of Hispanics in the U.S. are in favor of the mass deportation of illegal immigrants. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
History, pop culture, science, sports, civics. How much do you know? Let's find out.
Who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Jackson or something?
Neil Armstrong.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course listen to the quiz right now at thequiz.fox.
New polling by CBS News and YouGov shows that even a majority of Hispanics in the U.S. support the mass deportation of those here illegally. In fact, 53% surveyed are in favor of mass deportations, and 50% even support the federal government holding said illegal immigrants in detention centers prior to removal. And there's more. If a mass deportation action were to be carried out, 57% of Hispanics support local law enforcement cooperation to identify those targeted for removal. These numbers are shocking, but also indicative of how far the Democrats have gone and overplayed their hand on illegal immigration and open border policies. Americans and legal immigrants have had enough of this. Why would anyone come to our country the right way when there's so much reward and so little risk for doing it the wrong way? I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Giving a loan to a family member or friend can be a tricky situation and could raise just as many problems than trying to solve. Oftentimes, loans between family members, perhaps from an older person to their children or grandchildren, may be best with the help of financial advisors. Financial experts also say think through all the various scenarios that could arise after the loan is agreed to, like potentially causing damage to your relationship. Before you loan money, determine if it would put a strain on your finances, but if you have a sizable emergency fund, little or no debt, and a steady paycheck, making a loan might not be as difficult depending on the size. It's also important to think about how likely you are to get the money back. If the person is responsible about paying their bills and experiencing a one-time financial crisis, being paid back might not be an issue. However, if it's someone with a history of being financially irresponsible, that could be a bigger risk. So, loaner, beware. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Are bump stocks legal again, or what? The U.S. Supreme Court decision last week affected
affecting the ban on the devices by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, still usually called ATF, has left many wondering what the future will hold. The court ruling is a bit narrow and doesn't mean that bump stocks could never be banned. It just means that such a ban needs to be the result of Congress legislating and not bureaucrats making rules. And that's why Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, the New York Democrat, is bringing the matter up for a vote. President Biden called for such measures following the court ruling, though it seems unlikely such a bill could pass in the GOP-controlled House of Representatives. But if it did, someone could certainly sue for its repeal. Bump stocks remain banned by at least 16 states from red to blue, both like New York and Florida.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, very cool. I just ran in. I was filling up my cup of coffee and ran into Michael Marino, the CEO of Olympus Arms, Helena, Montana. He is the guy I interviewed at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. The SHOT Show 2 years ago, he developed the rifle in his own garage over the years that became the best in-show rifle. Very cool. So he's going to pop out and join us, I think, later on in the 9 o'clock hour. David Noble, I said I'd toss it back to you. So I definitely, whatever you want to talk about, I want to start there. But also, I see that we could have some U.S. Supreme Court opinions come out here later today. So I'll be listening in on the news alerts on that front.
Oh, yeah. It's June. So they like to release their opinions here in June. And then, of course, they got a pretty good gig up there at the U.S. Supreme Court. They get to take the rest of the summer off, and they're not back at work until October. So that's a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, pretty nice gig, man. Although, I mean, I love doing what I'm doing with this radio show, but I have to the way I have to, you know, make my summer a little more fun is, you know, just, hey, do the show from the Flathead a couple of times. You know, I still got to work, but, hey, we can work a little fun into it while we do it, right?
Well, we're so lucky to be Montanans and for it to be the summertime. I just got done camping this last week, and it was one of those wonderful moments, of course, where, you know, I got my 9-year-old stepdaughter there, and she's running around the campground looking for kids in other campsites and runs into another campsite with a family with 3 or 4 kids. And then they were running around the campground until late at night, running in the forest with flashlights, doing s'mores at the campfire. You know, it was just so wonderful, and we're so lucky to be here in Montana. And then, of course, here we are just trying to enjoy a wonderful summer in Montana, just trying to enjoy a nice summer in Montana. And we get hit with news from D.C., like Biden giving amnesty to 500,000 illegal aliens just with the stroke of his pen. And then thefederalist.com has a story up this morning about how Biden's amnesty plan for these 500,000 illegal aliens is actually going to turn them into voters because under federal law, once you become a lawful permanent resident, which Biden has just given to 500,000 illegal aliens, you're actually then eligible to become a U.S. citizen after 3 years if you are married to a U.S. citizen. And so this is a clear-cut step forward towards making 500,000 illegal aliens fully registered voters in the United States.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and you know what else I think is just so sad about that story on top of just maddening is the fact that, you know, the Mexican drug cartels have been targeting Native American women. And one thing that the cartel operatives specifically try to do is marry into the families. And so Joe Biden just gave yet another massive, and John Tester, by the way, too, they just gave a massive incentive to the Mexican drug cartels to continue targeting Native American women. And it's absolutely shameful. And especially when tribal communities are getting hit even harder than the rest of the state, frankly.
Well, that's exactly, I mean, those incentives make a difference. And of course, the drug cartels were doing that and trying to intentionally marry in for inappropriate reasons. because our law set up that incentive. And it's like, look, I totally agree with the idea that, hey, if you're an American citizen and you fall in love with somebody from another country, like, yeah, I'm totally fine with sort of giving you guys a benefit, giving your spouse lawful permanent residence status. But of course, when you have that, it is going to lead to abuse, like what the drug cartels are doing to Native Americans. It is going to lead to, you know, fraudulent marriages and everything else like that. That's what government incentives do. And so we've got to be smart about the policies we put in place. And of course, John Tester and the Democrats just keep putting in policies that incentivize and create good reasons why somebody in a drug cartel in Mexico might want to human traffic somebody across the border. That's the incentives they've created.
Yeah. And so again, if you're Native American, why would you still vote for the Democrat Party? Tom Luty had a recent write-up where he said the cracks are starting to show. Native Americans are starting to break from the Democrat Party. David Noble, appreciate your time this hour. Always a pleasure. Great insight as always. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
More coverage after this. Thank you.